back to our latest episode of West Coast XC. We're going to have Dystat Editor-in-Chief Doug Binder on in a few minutes to talk about his what he does at Dystat and also how he came into being a track person. And tell us a little bit about the Husky Classic that's happening Friday and Saturday up in the University of Washington in Seattle. If you could do us a monster favor, that would be to subscribe on YouTube or follow us on Apple Podcast or Spotify. It would really be awesome if you could do that. Last weekend, we went down to Southern California to go with what was called the California Winter Championships. It was at Arcadia High School. That's the home of the famous Arcadia Invitational. And they had events that were, you know, geared for like as if it was an indoor meet, but it was outside at Arcadia. And so in the distance races, there were the 1500, the 600, and also the 3000, which are races that are not normally contested in the regular season. It was not the regular season in California. They are just like up in Washington and Oregon, the season hasn't started yet. And so the athletes ran unattached or ran for a club. And we took pictures of the distance races. In fact, we had two cameras for the 1500 and the 3000. So if you go to our bio on our Instagram account, West Coast XC, or on our website, westcoastxc.com, you'll find if you ran in those races, the 15 and the 3000, you might notice that we have pictures on both sides of the track. So if you go through and just keep scrolling, you'll find more pictures of your race. And some of the highlights of the meet was Liam Miller of South Torrance had a really big day. He won two events. He won the 1500 and he won the 3000. And when he won the 3000, he ran an 8:26.46, which is a new meet record. Another meet record in the distance events was done by Annalise Packard of J. Sarah. She won the 600 in 1:31.16. Other athletes that were victorious was Charlotte Hopkins of Arcadia High School on her home track, won the 3000. Megan Crum of Temescal Canyon won the 1500 and finished very close to Charlotte in the 3000, so finished second in 3002, so had a pretty good day. Trajan Cephas of Norco won a very close 600-meter race, with just barely beating Ejim Johannes of Loyola. I think they had almost the exact same time. 120.98. There were also relays. There was the distance medley. The Oaks Christian girls were victorious in the distance medley. The Loyola boys were victorious in the distance medley. And then there's also the 4x800, where Maricosta boys won the 4x8 and Chino Hills girls won the 4x8. All those races are on our website, and you can download those photos and enjoy them for free. Make sure you follow on Instagram, too. That'd be great. The same exact time this was happening, up in Oregon, a wonderful event called the Grassroots 3000. It's an event where athletes also run unattached from the Portland, Oregon area. And they're not timed officially. Their individual coaches time them, so I don't have any official results from the event. But you can also go on our website and download photos from that event. And there was also two cameras on the track that day. So, you know, if you ran that race or you have friends that ran that race and you're looking for their picture, keep scrolling. You'll probably see another picture of them from a different part of the track. It's a really great event. It's a great way to start off. They run really fast. This year it's at Sunset High School. It's been at Sherwood High School. It's been at Jesuit High School. It's been at Nike. They have them at different really excellent tracks, and it's a great way for the Oregon athletes to start their season out. So next we'll hear from Doug Binder, and he will talk to us about the upcoming meet at the Husky Classic. Well, we're happy to have our special guest, Doug Binder from Dystat. Hello, Doug.
Hey, Ken.
And Doug, before we ask you about the Husky Classic, I want to ask you some questions. For our listeners who may not be familiar with you, what is your role at Dystat?
So I'm the editor-in-chief of Dystat, and I have been since, I think it was 2013 when I came aboard. So I run the news operation for Runnerspace, which is Dystat. And so week after week, you know, we're covering meets, high school, college, pro, signing photographers, making sure we have writers and interviewers on hand. to hit all the places that we want to get to, and sort of managing all that news coverage.
So you're busy. So you're talking like there's no really down, maybe winter break time, maybe, or
Christmas, at least, like there's not a lot going on, but indoor track certainly has started up by then, and there's one or two things to follow. But yeah, it's kind of around the clock, around the calendar, with the way that outdoor track sort of just goes right into the start of cross country. There's
right.
not a lot of downtime. In the summer there is, there's just some stretches where there's not a lot of domestic meets where you can kind of get out of town and relax for a little bit.
So you obviously are a massive fan of track and cross country. How did you develop this passion for the sport?
Yeah, well, as you know, I grew up in Portland, and I went to Grant High School, and was mentored by one of the great high school coaches in the area named Mark Cotton. And so I became, I got into cross country as a freshman, had no idea what that was. I wasn't very good, but I admired some of the other talented kids on the team. I got to know a little bit more about what the running culture was in Oregon, learned who Steve Prefontaine was, things that were part of the sort of the Oregon heritage there. And then when I had such a strong figure as a coach, with Coach Cotton, I was his teacher's assistant. He was a math teacher at Grant, and I would spend most of my time, not so much grading his papers, but working on his track manual and the school's all-time top 10 list and things like that. And so I got a little bit of the track nerd bug, I guess, doing that for him, learning all about the numbers with the sport. And the first time that I went to Hayward Field was in 1988, when I was in high school, and it was the day that Art Skipper threw the national record in the javelin. And so that was my introduction to Hayward Field. And it just seems like as I got into newspapers, nobody really wanted to fill that track and field lane, and I did, so I sort of carved out my little spot there at a couple of newsrooms that I worked in, including the Oregonian. And then, when I left the Oregonian, I wasn't sure I would necessarily find something else in track and field, but lo and behold, I'd made some connection with John Dye and worked with him on the site for about a year. And then, one thing led to another, and when Runner Space acquired it from John Dye, then I got back involved.
Oh, awesome. Well, I'm really happy you're here to talk about the Husky Classic this weekend. There are three meets they're having this winter, and it's the final meet of the indoor season at the Dempsey. And it seems to me it might be the most loaded of all three races or meets so far. It's Wednesday when we're recording this. Things could change between now and Friday and Saturday, but from best guess from based on the entries they sent out on Monday, what are some interesting either races or athletes to watch this weekend?
Yeah. Well, the big thing that we're following that we just found out about today is we're expecting that Nico Young will be racing for the first time in 2025, first time since racing in Paris last year at the Olympics. So he, at the moment, looks to be entered into both the 3000 and the mile on Saturday. Now, the way that the 3000 just exploded last weekend at Millrose, with two Americans going under the world record, it look I mean you know the field at the Dempsey, it probably it's not Grant Fisher and Cole Hawker quality, but I'm sure that that's inspired a lot of guys who are in those top sections of the 3000. And there are a lot of guys in that 750s, 740s, and they're all going to be or many of them are going to be trying to move up on the Division One NCAA list to try and mark their spot for nationals.
And then also the women's DMR, it's an opportunity for schools to, and also the men's DMR too. It seems like the women's DMR has some interesting teams there. It's the chance to get a mark for the NCAA ch championships.
I mean, you're right in that this could be the most talented overall meet out of the three, but the bar's been set pretty high because the preview and the UW Indoor Invitational were both pretty exceptional when it comes to the distance races. And people, things like, what Laura Pellicoro has done from Portland up there. And but yeah, we're gonna see the New Mexico will go back there, and Washington obviously, and I think BYU is going. So yeah, when you get programs like that involved, those are going to be competitive situations, and this will be the moment that some of those schools put their marker down for DMRs and other things.
Is there anything to look for in the field events and sprints?
Without the entries right in front of me, I couldn't probably regurgitate them to you, but
Are the Molk twins pole vaulting this weekend?
I believe so. I
Okay.
believe so, yes. Yeah.
That's pretty exciting.
It is. They've both, I think their next horizon for them is 16 feet. So they between them and Chloe Timberg, it's gonna be a pretty awesome competition for the NCAA title. But all three of them seem like they're going to go 15-6 and beyond before March.
So we'll look forward to reading your DieStats preview later this week. By the time this comes out, it'll probably be at the same time the preview will come out. So I'll have a better idea of who's entered and for this weekend. And also, viewers can watch it on Runner Space Plus too, Friday and Saturday, and watch the events. It's kind of getting crunch time for people to get their. Is it like the top 16 in a lot of events to make it to NCAAs? So.
And the way things like the men's mile is so incredible right now.
348.
What's it going to take to get into that field? It might take 355, or more.
So it used to be like, hey, you broke 4 minutes. That's fantastic. It is still fantastic. That Dempsey gets super excited when people do that. It's a major achievement. But yeah, you'll have to
It's
run.
exciting, I think, when you do it for the first time, right? And when there's about 100 men have already done it already in college this year. So,
This year? Wow. Okay.
last time I looked, it was 91. I think that we've had a weekend since then. I gotta imagine it's higher.
Oh
So,
my gosh, that's incredible. Okay, well, Doug, we'll look forward to the preview and we'll watch all the live coverage this weekend on Runner Space. And I appreciate you taking the time and talking with us. And we'll look forward to the meet. Thanks for
you
coming.
bet. Anytime, Ken. Thanks.
I want to thank our special guest, Doug Binder of DieStat, for coming on and previewing the Husky Classic that's happening this weekend. You can watch it on Runner Space Plus if you have a subscription to that. And this weekend, the plan is to go up to Seattle. I live in Portland, Oregon, Beaverton, Oregon. And there is a chance of snow or an ice here. So hopefully we'll make it up to Seattle. I hear Seattle's not going to be bad, but just to get out of Portland. But look for our photos if we make it up there on Friday and Saturday. And we look forward to doing this again next time. Please subscribe on YouTube and follow us on Apple Podcast and on Spotify. Until next time, West Coast is the best coast.